However, in the beginning, any brother or sister, just lead us in prayer. Just feel free by the leading of the Lord, okay? One or two.
Lord, we thank you. We thank you once we sit at your feet. Lord, we ask you to bless us again. Lord, show your mercy and grace.
Yes.
We thank you. We thank you for your living word. And the spirit of life. And we ask you to witness us, how to help us to understand you, to understand you more. We thank you. We praise you.
Amen.
In Jesus' precious name.
Amen. Let's turn to Colossians, New Testament. Colossians.
Joycelyn.
Is Joycelyn here? No? Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thanksfulness in your heart to God. Now here we have the phrase, the word of Christ. Now the word in Greek is logos. So the logos of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom. I think this is just the verse for the moment. Now this afternoon we would like to continue to share the light with the word. How can we live a life with the Word, because Christian life actually is the life with the Word. And we want to study the Word. We want to have very effective Bible study. Now, we already mentioned three items or three important elements related to the Word of God. Now, first, we have to understand the character or nature of the Word of God. So yesterday, we spent a whole afternoon, just try to emphasize to one point, that is the principle of choice. So if you study the word, you recognize that, actually if you notice that, how when God speaks, he often speaks twice. Now he always repeat his statement. He already say something, but now he will repeat it again. Now, there are three aspects we already mentioned. One aspect is logos and rhema. Logos is the God's, it's the written word of God that God has spoken to the mankind sometime in history. So it's already within the covers of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. So that's the logos. So logos in the Bible refer to the word of truth. But since today Holy Spirit dwells in our spirit, so and the Spirit, Holy Spirit, has some special function. That function is he will teach us in all things about the word of God. Also, he brings back our remembrance of what our Lord has said to us or what God has spoken to us before. So rhema is word which is so objective, so personal, that God is speaking to us today through the Holy Spirit, but based on what God has spoken in his Bible. So I think we already mentioned that two aspects, first aspect of the principle of Christ, logos and rhema. And now when we consider logos, if we want to understand the word or the word of truth, again, we have to use this principle of Christ. Now, it is true, Every word of God is light, is heavenly light from the heaven. But according to the Bible, in thy light we shall see light. So we need the word of God to explain the word of God. So that's a very important thing for us to know or to understand the word of truth as well. Now, as matter then about the rhema, about the word of life, and sometime by the grace of the Lord, and we receive rhema, and not only rhema, also a very rich one. But we have to be very careful, you know, because we, our human nature, we know that our human nature is such that we have fallen terribly in Adam. So sometimes we mix our own feeling with the word of God. So we need to check. For that reason, and then you remember, Eva, suppose you really receive some word from the Lord, if the Lord really speaks to you in a very personal way, a very vivid way, but then you have to check, you have to wait. And if the Lord already spoken to you once, he definitely will speak to you again. It may not be that while you are studying your Bible, probably while you are breaking the bread with the saints, or when you have fellowship with other brothers and sisters, or even when you listen to a sermon, or even while you are driving your car. We don't know in what occasion the Holy Spirit will speak to us through what he has spoken in the Word of God. So that's why to meet with the saints is very important. You cannot just become a Christian alone. We will never do that. If we want to grow together sometime, you know, if we want to know the love of God, sometimes we need to be with all the saints to understand that. So I think this is very important. So yesterday, I think we just dwell on the three aspects of the principle of Christ. Now today, I think we will go one step further. We will talk about the man who studied the world. And before I go on, I think I would like to recommend one book. This book is called E-Search the Scriptures by Watchman Nee. And I think this is really a very good book. It's published by Christian Fellowship Publisher. And I think it's very easy for you to get to obtain it in the States. Now, I like this book because in this book, they divide into two parts. The first part of one is the preparation of man. Then the part two, the methods of Bible study. So if you read any other books about the Bible study, now most of the book they devote almost the whole book on the methods of the Bible study. But Brother Nee, he really devote a lot, he really used many pages just to try to tell us now what kind of conditions, you know, for a person to study the Bible in the most efficient or most effective way. So really very practical. So I suggest that if possible, you try to obtain this book, E-Search the Scriptures by Watchman Nee. Now, I don't want to go over it because actually he described it in a very nice way. I don't think I can do much better than that. So if you really obtain that book, just read this book, especially the first part. Okay. So we don't want to repeat it. Today and tomorrow we do something else, and we try to add something, try to help brother and sister in quite a practical way. So when we talk about the man, I think we will use two illustrations from the Bible. Because in the Bible, we know two men who are the man of God, of the Word, no doubt about that. So we want to pick one, to pick two characters from the Bible. Now one is Paul. Now Paul definitely is the word man of the word. So we would like to find out how did he study the word? How come he was so rich with the word? There must be some reason. So if we study his life, and we could have some glimpse into his life with the word, and hopefully we can learn some lesson and from him. Of course, when you study his life, actually you already know what kind of man he was and what kind of conditions God had to prepare such that he really can study the Bible well. So I try to mention several things, and at the same time, we know what kind of person, what kind of man God has dealt with Paul, and to a point that he really used by the Lord as a wonderful vessel in God's hand to deliver the word to us. So now, I just would like to mention the passage we have just studied, or we have just read. Let me repeat again, Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Now actually, this is almost the secret of Paul. Now how he studied the word. He said, "Let the Logos of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom." In other words, you can use all kind of method, all kind of wisdom for one purpose. Now this purpose is this: let the Logos of Christ may dwell within you richly. So that's the secret. No matter what method, it should be all right. Okay? Important thing is, now, the Logos of Christ should dwell within us in a very, very rich way with all wisdom. So I think this is the secret of Paul. So today we will learn one secret from Paul, and we will learn another secret from John. We will talk about these two characters. These two people are different in their character. For example, Paul was a very educated person. He has contact the highest civilization in his time. And now in the Bible, there are two characters, one in Old Testament, another one in the New. Now in the Old Testament, we know that Moses has contact the highest civilization at that time, that Egyptian civilization, Egyptian culture. So God wanted to use him. So that's why the Bible says, while he was in Egypt, he has learned all the wisdom of Egypt. And for that reason, God can use him to author five book of Moses. And through Moses, we know the origin of the universe, we know the origin of mankind, and so on and so forth. So definitely, Moses was the man of the word. He knew the word, and he delivered the word of God. And of course, he himself must be the man of the word. Now, he lived in Old Testament. So in Old Testament, Moses was a special vessel chosen by God to give us the five book of Moses. But then, in New Testament time, it pleased God that who have chosen Paul, a special vessel in his hand. And Paul, actually, he has embraced three worlds at that time: the religious world of Hebrew, the cultural world of Greek, and the political and the military world of Rome. Think about it. Actually, he has embraced three worlds. And with that background, and God trained him, transformed him. Formerly, he was very famous, and he was very useful in Judaism. You know, he had a great contribution. He was zealous for God. But one day, while he on the way to Damascus, he was caught by God, and God really captured him and flooded him with the light from heaven, and his eyes were blind. You know, with Paul, he was so clever and he was so bright. Now you can be sure that he has a really a wonderful insight of the whole world. So he has a natural insight of everything. But thank God. Now it was God who captured him, and once caught, never escaped. Now after Paul was converted, he was a different man. So thank the Lord, he was an educated person. He actually was a very sophisticated one before he met the Lord. But thank the Lord, after God met him on the way to Damascus, he has been completely transformed. So now we want to know how he studied the Word. So now you understand the reason Paul can be the minister of the Word of God, because first, he has met God on the way to Damascus. He was converted. He was born again, in our understanding. And not only that, and he was really the follower. He really became the follower of our Lord, the disciple of our Lord in the Spirit. He was different from John. John was the disciple of our Lord while our Lord was still in his flesh. Okay. So Paul, just like you and us, and we only know him, we only see him in our spirit, because in the time of Paul meeting our Lord, actually our Lord already ascended to heaven, and the Holy Spirit already being poured down, and so we know that that's how Paul was saved on the way to Damascus. So thank the Lord. Now you discover God will use him. Not only use him, and God wants to transform him into a man of the Word. Now, of course, before he was saved, he knew his Bible. I mean, Old Testament Bible, no doubt. But thank the Lord, now God was using Paul to give us a fuller revelation. So we know that among 27 books of New Testament, Paul has given us 13 of them, if you do not include Hebrew. Okay. So in this way, you know that actually he indeed has a great discovery in Christ. So he wrote down his discoveries, and then we have something in the New Testament, because epistles of Paul actually are very, very important in the New Testament. So we know that then, but then we will ask one question. Where Paul received his revelation? What was the source? Remember? Now, don't forget, in thy light we shall see light. So the same principle with Paul. Now, of course, we know that Paul was well versed with the Old Testament, that's for sure. Because when he was young, he was trained in that way. When he was a boy, I know every Jewish boy, they learned something to look for a personal verse. You see, you have to look carefully. For example, because you don't know Hebrew very well, or Greek, so let's assume that Paul only knows English. Mm-hmm. And for example, his name really Paul, P-A-U-L. Now, what does that mean? He should look for his personal verse. What does that mean? It means that he should study his Old Testament Bible carefully, but he should look for one verse, something to do with his name. Now, for example, his name is P-E-A-U-L. So then he's supposed to look for a verse beginning with P, ending with L. Do you understand? So very simple. Okay? So, now suppose Paul only used King James Version. Suppose, okay? He only used it in King James Version. So then, one day, he really has found his own personal verse. Now that's very important. So, for example, I give you one example. Pride goeth before destruction, and haughty spirit before a fall. Now that's Proverbs 16 verse 18. See, P, pride start with P and end with L. So if you find that verse, now Paul would say, I already found my personal verse. So this is the game for all the Jewish boys. So we believe that while he was young, I think his mind was well trained in that way, going through the Bible. Very interesting. If you really like King James Version, now one chapter, you will find the word shakes, and also another word spear. So then, if you put together just Shakespeare, So some people wonder, probably that chapter was translated by Shakespeare. But we don't know. But that's just a game. You see what I mean? Because you are interested in that game, so then you look for it. So now, even when Paul was very young, he played that kind of game. So you know that his mind actually was well trained when he was very young with Old Testament. So that's important. Now don't forget, Old Testament also part of Logos. Only thing is that God haven't finished his speaking with Old Testament. Only when we come to Revelation, then it's complete. Then you will say the God has finished his word, his revelation has accomplished. See? That then, from now on, if you want to know everything about the word of God, always within the covers, always from Genesis to Revelation. That's it. Because God already finished his word in the last book of Old Testament. So don't forget, even Old Testament is still Logos. Remember, because that's part of God's word. The only thing is that sometimes you have no conclusion, that's all. Let me give you one example. For example, we all know that now in the book of Daniel, Daniel knew that one day there will be a great tribulation. Now, how long will be great tribulation? He said one time, two time, and half a time. Now, in Hebrew, now we only know a definite period of time called one time, two times, and half time. So we really don't know how long is three times and half. We really don't know. Okay, if you read your Daniel, if you read it very careful, you only know that there will be a period in the future for a great tribulation, but you don't know really how long is that period. We only know that three times and a half, but you don't know really how long is that one time. But then, brothers and sisters, this is the way how to understand the Bible. Because if you come to Revelation, when God finished his revelation, then in Revelation you also find the phrase one time, two time, and half time. But again, in Greek, no definition. You don't know how long it is. You really don't know. But if you read the context, you know, if you read the whole gospel, if you read the book of Revelation, then you know Revelation lasts for 42 months. And the Bible also spells out 1,260 days. So now you get the answer. From Revelation, you know that actually, now this is a one time corresponding to 1 year. But that 1 year is not solid year, it's biblical year or prophetic year, 360 days, because 3.5 times, if you divide 1,260 by 3.5, what you get? You get 360 days. You see? So by this way, we are able to know, actually, now one time, two time, three and a half, it means what? It means 1,260 days. But that's very important. Why? Because when you study Daniel, talk about 70 times 7. Again, 7 is not defined. But 7 in Hebrew means 7 times. So 70 times 7, so one time 360 days. So what does that mean? That means after giving the command of reconstruction of the city of Jerusalem, now that we can find from history, then after how many days? After 69 times 7 times 360 days, then Messiah will be cut off. He will die for us on the cross. So that's a wonderful prophecy. Now, brothers and sisters, if you only have Old Testament, if you only have Daniel, you won't be able to make conclusion. You only know roughly, you can guess, but you cannot come to a definite conclusion. So, brother and sister, again I say, Old Testament definitely is part of the Word of God. Only thing is, if you only have Old Testament, it's not complete. Then many things will become an answer. You don't have no conclusion. But only when you come to the whole Bible, then when God finishes saying his word, then we know how to interpret the word of God. So I think this is very important. Now, while Paul was young, he played some game, we already mentioned, then I think probably when our Lord was in Galilee, then Paul went to Jerusalem. Probably, you know, these two never met. I think Paul actually never met our Lord in his flesh. So then we know that he went to Jerusalem and he studied at the feet of Gamaliel. Now Gamaliel was a great rabbi at that time. You know, actually, chief rabbi. He's actually a chief rabbi at that time, in the time of Paul. Now you know that there are two great rabbis in history of in the Jewish history. One is Philo, and Gamaliel is the grandson of Philo. And Paul, actually, he really studied at his feet. Why? Because Paul wanted to be one of the rabbis. So, and then while he was at the feet of Gamaliel, he really just studied there. What he was doing is nothing but studied Old Testament. So almost just like you, some of you going to college. But the difference is that when you go to the college, you will study many books. You will study psychology or physics. But for Paul, there's only one book. Okay, there's no other book. So when rabbi or when they were graduated, then they will become rabbi. The rabbi is almost equivalent to today's college professor. Okay, but rabbi actually is professor of the Old Testament. They really know Bible very well. Now, from the document we got from the time in Paul, we know that actually when they enter into such a school, like school of Gamaliel, school of rabbis, now what were they doing? They only studied one book and no New Testament, but also Old Testament. Now, when they studied the Bible, actually, they search, they really search. Okay, so how about let us read John chapter 5. Then you know how Jewish people really study their Bible. So John 5. Chapter 39. Chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 39. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is these that bear witness of me, and you are unwilling to come to me that you may have life. Now, brothers and sisters, our Lord talked to the Jews. You search the scriptures. Now, our Lord never say that you made a mistake by searching the scripture. No. You see, the method of this Jewish rabbi, the method of Jewish people was correct. You search the scripture, because scripture is like a huge library. So you need to search. So you search the scripture because you think in them you have eternal life. And it is these that bear witness of me. So our Lord welcomed these people to search. But our Lord wants them to end up with a conclusion. Finally, they will discover, actually, the whole Bible bears witness of our Lord Jesus. But that part they didn't see. And then our Lord continues to say, and it is this that bear witness of me. But then the Lord said, and you are unwilling to come to me that you may have life. So the problem is not the method. The problem is the end of their searching is not life. They may get some doctrine. They may get some wonderful truth in the Old Testament. Just like a man of rabbis had a great contribution, great interpretation. But unfortunately, they never have life. Because only our Lord was the fountain of life. So, brother and sister, what the Lord said, and you are unwilling to come to me. You study, you search, but you don't come to me. So now you see the secret, brother and sister. You have to start with searching. But to search is not everything. After the searching, you have to come to Him. What does that mean? You have to come to the fount of life. Then you will have life. Then you end up with Rhema. You have Rhema. So, brothers and sisters, the word, now, no doubt, Logos, the Word of God, Scriptures, are full of Word of Truth. But the secret is this. You have to come to me. You have to come to a person, a living person. But they are not willing to come. They are not willing to do that. The Lord said, you may have life. So by this way, even our Lord know that their method was correct. You see, if they want to serve, if they want to understand the Old Testament, there's some method involved. And Paul knew that method. You see? And according to the document we have, now when they study a portion of the Bible, actually they suggest four levels of understanding. If you want to know certain passage, and of course, and now you have to understand it from its surface value. I mean, now when you read it, you get some meaning about it. Then they will talk about some other things. You know, how can you go to something deeper? And then you have to do some kind of research. Finally, you can end up with some kind of conclusion. But anyway, you see, with the school of rabbis, they have a way. They try to analyze the Word of God. They try to put them together. And they try to draw some conclusion from what God has said here and there. And try to find a symmetry of the word, and finally they have their doctrine. Finally they have their conclusion. So remember, Paul actually, he was well trained in this way. So he was not only know the Bible, actually he went through a professional training. But don't forget, brothers and sisters, now this professional training are okay. No problem. This professional method are all right. No problem. But he should not just stop there. You see? But thank the Lord. After he was saved, after he met the Lord on the way to Damascus, we thank the Lord, the whole being of Paul has been transformed. But now, brothers and sisters, the same Old Testament, but now Holy Spirit had to teach him, because Holy Spirit was already in him, will teach him in all things. Now, our Lord, then Holy Spirit tried to remind him of what God has spoken. You see, brothers and sisters, now you remember, Paul was different from any other rabbi anymore. Today you will find great rabbis in New York. And they are well versed with the Old Testament, but they don't have Holy Spirit in them. Do you see that? They never come to the law and try to have life. No, they never do that. But now it's different, brothers and sisters. After Paul was saved, he met the risen Lord. So now he always had a wonderful communion with the Lord. He always come to the fount of life. Now, brothers and sisters, and those methods, those logos he has deposited in his life, never wasted. Never wasted. But important thing is this. Now you need Holy Spirit to remind you. If you are not anointed by the Holy Spirit, you know, the Holy Spirit will anoint His word again in you, then it makes living. Then Paul is going to see something great. So, brothers and sisters, that's very, very important. For example, let us take, one thing, let us remember that, I think we probably should read Galatians chapter 1. What happened after his conversion? Galatians chapter 1. Verse 16. Let's read from verse 15. But when he who had set me apart, even from my mother's womb, and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me. Now, that's on the way to Damascus. Okay? So, somehow his inner eyes were open, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away to Arabia and returned once more to Damascus. So, brothers and sisters, something very interesting. After he were converted, he did not go to Jerusalem. If he went to Jerusalem, now somehow his vision, somehow he will be influenced by those apostles. Now, of course, those apostles receive something from the Word of God. But if they go to them first, then you know what happens. Somehow, the scope of his vision will be limited. So the Bible told us, instead of going to Jerusalem, instead of being informed by other people, even they are much more advanced, but the Bible says he went to Arabia. He went to the wilderness of Arabia. Now, where was Arabia? Of course, many guests, many people try to find a way of it. But it's very simple. Now, Arabia not only appear once in this book, actually twice. Okay. So now you know where is Arabia, because in Galatians chapter 4, verse 25 say, Mount Sinai in Arabia. So very clear, brothers and sisters. Now, you remember in Old Testament time, it's in Mount Sinai area, Moses received the word. And also, remember, people of Israel, they met at the Lord in the mountain of God, and there God delivered his word. So that happened to Old Testament. But now with the Paul, now instead of going to Jerusalem, what did he do? Actually, he went to Arabia. He went to Mount Sinai, Arabia. Brothers and sisters, remember, formerly he know his Bible from the school of Gamaliel, from Jerusalem. Sometimes we think, if you want to know the Bible, you ought to go to Jerusalem. But something very interesting. Later, Paul received much revelation. We all know that. We know that this all firsthand. So remember, before he went to Arabia, he was filled with logos. He knew his Old Testament Bible very well. But now he had to come to the founder of life. Now remember, now because the Holy Spirit already dwelt in him, so he is supposed to let the Holy Spirit to teach him in all things while he stayed in Arabia in the wilderness for some time. So thank the Lord, we believe that roughly in that time, he received much revelation. Those revelations, actually, by his epistles, you know that. Definitely, that's from the Lord, firsthand. But now, brothers and sisters, we want to know, what was his secret? Now, before we go on, I'd like to mention one important principle. Now, when we study our Bible, I think we have a tendency. For example, suppose next week, you are going to lead a Bible class, Bible study, okay? And then, for example, you try to study what? You try to study Gospel according to Matthew, for example. Now, our problem is this. If you want to lead, to help brothers and sisters to know Gospel according to Matthew, the first thing is this. You go to the library, try to pick up a good book on Gospel according to Matthew, right? So that's all what we are doing. Now, brother, we cannot say this wrong. But the problem is this, you see, we should learn from Paul. Before you consult with many other books, those books may be very wonderful. But today there's a danger if you go to any library. Now, since you do not know Bible very well, you may pick up some book written by a modernist, by a liberal theologian. Very possible. You see? But more than that, even you pick up a very good one. For example, Watchman Nee. How about that? Well, it must be good. But, brother and sister, if you pick up that one, that means your interpretation on Book of Matthew actually is not yours. You borrow from his light. Do you understand? So that's the problem. That's the problem, you see? For example, suppose you say, I pick up one book by Darby, John Nelson. That must be very wonderful. And then when you come to the Matthew 5, 6, 7 about Sermon on the Mount, then Darby will tell you, this is not for Christians. This is actually for the Jews. You see, in the beginning, our Lord Jesus came to the earth, wanted to offer the kingdom to the Jews, but they refused. That's why now our Lord Jesus postponed that kingdom to the millennium. So now this actually not for the Jews, this for not for the Christians, this for them. So brother and sister, definitely we respect John Nelson Darby. He was one of the great men of God. But then you will be confused, brothers and sisters. And then when you come to the last part of Gospel according to Matthew, and our Lord said, now go and disciple all the nations and teach them all that I have teach you, including Sermon on the Mount. So if you study also the left epistles, then you find that you find Sermon on the Mount everywhere. So brother and sister, now you understand what I mean. Now, if we really want to study the Word, if we want to be rich with the Word, now, brothers and sisters, remember one thing. Go to Arabia first. Now, that's principle. I'm talking on principle. Then you will come back. Now, don't go to another extreme. Some people say, I only stay my time in Arabia. I don't read any reference book. You see, only my Lord and I. Wonderful. You see? Now, brother, now you go to another extreme. So Paul, he received revelation in Arabia first. You know, let the Word of God saturate him first, fill him first. Then, now, when you talk to those people who advance in the Lord, then you will receive much help. You will keep a wonderful balance. So this is very, very important. Now, actually, this is the way of the method of Campbell Morgan. Now, you know, Campbell Morgan is a great prince of expositors. Now, I say, any books by him, you just buy it. Don't worry about it. Okay? Now, if you have only enough money just to buy one book, just buy his Gospel of Luke. Okay, that's supposed to be one of the best commentary. So, he really knows the Word of God. So, one day, I think when he's almost 60 years old, then he reveal his secret. Now, what was his secret? How come he become great expositor? How come he knew the Bible so well? So later we know the secret. He told us when he first saved, in the first seven years, and he only studied the Word, only read the Bible itself. And for every book, you have a 66 books, right? For every book, he said, I will finish 50 times before I pick up my pencil to write something on my notebooks. So that's his habit. So I think this is a wonderful habit. Think about it. That means every book of 66 books. Now, first he read again and again and again. Why 50 times? Not necessarily 50 times. If you're sharp enough, probably 10 times. But you know, I think Campbell Morgan is not smarter than you, so he had to go through 50 times to be impressed with the Word of God. So if you can just spend 10 times, fine. But what does that mean? That means the first thing, he will be filled with the Logos. He will only be filled with the Word of God himself. Then he will write something, he will make some notes, and then he consult with many other books. So you see, brothers and sisters, he received his own riches from the throne of grace. At the same time, he knows that God has deposited that riches in the body of Christ in the 2,000 years. So, brothers and sisters, if he's clever enough, for example, and one Bible scholar wrote a wonderful book on Zechariah, for example. He spent 14 years, David Barron, he was a wonderful Bible scholar. Think about it. He spent 14 years just to write a book. So So let me teach you, let me tell you a secret. If you go to any bookstore, you'll find an author, actually, he not only the author of Genesis, on all the 62 books. Now, don't buy that collection. It's impossible. You see, brothers and sisters? Now, this brother, he spent 14 years just to give us one book. Now, if you are clever enough, after you study Zechariah 50 times, or 10 times, or 30 times, fine, it's all right. After you do that, then you just spend 14 days. I'm not talking about 14 years. What discernment, you see, brothers and sisters? Now, that's very important. Now, important things, God had to speak to you. Now, that's important. So, now, this is a very important principle. So, I really urge you, brothers, if you really want to teach a class on Matthew or Mark, now, make a determination before the Lord. I'm not talking about 50 times. I'm talking about any time enough for you to receive the impression from God. That's very important. Especially if you're not very good in your memory, you know, if you're not gifted in your memory, you always forget things. But then, what you are doing is this, you repeat and repeat. You force yourself to remember. Not by reciting, but at least one time, two times, three times. So I think this method is wonderful. I like to recommend to every one of you, you know, especially if you're slow in your memory, you can memorize certain things. That's very important. So, brothers and sisters, this is a very important thing. You should let the Word of God saturate you, fill in you first with all wisdom. Any method should do. Every method should work well. So that's what happened. He went to Arabia for certain years, you know, for certain years. Now, finally, he came back. He became a different person. He went to any synagogue. He argued with them. Why? From the Word of God. Formerly, he believed that Jesus Christ ought to be wiped out. He was an imposter. Why? How did he know that? Because when he studied gospel, when he studied Deuteronomy or five book of Moses, now there's one phrase there. Anyone who die on the wood, anyone die on the wood, hanging on the wood, right? Anyone who end on the tree must be cursed. So think about it. Our Lord Jesus literally, according to the Bible, he was crucified for us. He died for us on the tree. So according to his theology, he cannot be Messiah. Impossible. So you see, brothers and sisters, now, after he was converted, he came to Arabia. Now this is time for God to unlearn him. When he was in the school of Gamaliel, he learned many things. But now he has to be unlearned. More than that, now, brothers and sisters, he was different than before. Formerly, he has no spirit dwelling in him. You see, he was only a Bible scholar, that's all. He was very intellectual, that's all. And actually, Spirit of God was not dwelling in his heart. But now, thank the Lord, the Spirit of Christ or Holy Spirit already dwell in him. Now Holy Spirit will teach him in all things and also remind him what God has spoken first time in the Bible. So then, by this way, he discovered wonderful truth in the New Testament. For example, justification by faith. How did he discover that? Now one day, when he studied Genesis, when he studied Genesis 15, and then he discovered Abraham believed in what God says. And now this will count as his righteousness. You see, brothers and sisters? And this happened before Abraham was circumcised. So now, brothers and sisters, because he came to the fount of life, so he discovered wonderful truth, justification by faith. Another great, great truth, new creation. Now, you remember, anyone who is in Christ is new creature, right? It's new creation. Now, how come he discovered, how did he discover that? Very interesting. Now, we really don't know. But anyway, definitely when he studied the Bible, and we find it out from the Bible. For example, one day, and we can assume that. Now, one day, he studied Genesis 1. For example, let's turn to Genesis 1. Verse 3. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, brother and sister, to Paul, this phrase must be very important. Why? Because he met the Lord on the way to Damascus. And God has flooded him with the light from heaven. So now you can imagine. Now, when he studied this chapter again, and with the wonderful experience on the way to Damascus, when he studied again, now you can imagine something had entered into his mind. Now we don't know what happened. But later, if you study 2 Corinthians chapter 4, you will find something there. For example, let us read 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 6. Now, for God who said, light shall shine of darkness. Now, brothers, where do you find that phrase? No doubt. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness. Definitely, when he was studying Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, let there be light. Now, very interesting. Now, here from this phrase, now, chapter 4, verse 6. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone on our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Now, brothers and sisters, Paul met risen Lord. And he really saw the face of risen Lord, no doubt about that. And he saw that great light. So you see, brothers, when that light shined upon him, and will give the light of the knowledge of glory of God in the face of Christ. Now, when he was in the school of rabbi, they definitely have studied a theme called the glory of God. He never, I think you ask any rabbi, they did not know how to explain the glory of God. Until one day, Paul, by himself, personally, really met the Lord, the risen Lord. And then he discovered, actually, the glory of God is not a thing, it's a person. So you see, brothers and sisters, now from this verse, now you can understand, while he studied Genesis 1 or verse 2, something came to him. So most likely, when he studied the first chapter, he really applied the whole chapter to himself. For example, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. So that's what happened in Adam, and that's what happened to Adam. And earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the water. Now this is just almost like what happened before he was saved. Do you see that? His heart was dark. And he was just like this earth, formless, void, but then Spirit of God was moving over the surface of water. Because why? Because he remembered how Stephen was martyred. His face looked like an angel. So you see, brothers and sisters, somehow the Holy Spirit working in his conscience. And now he tried to shy away from that. So instead of listen to the voice, he became the persecutor. He became wild. He was supposed to be a very civilized person. But now, brothers, in order to appease that voice, he became murderer. But thank the Lord. on his way to Damascus, let there be light. Then there was light. That's what happened to him. So finally, what did he see? He saw the glory of God in the face of Christ. So when he wrote down that wonderful phrase, what does that mean? If this can be applied to Paul, and Genesis 1 is talk about all creation, isn't that true? Paul is just one of new creation. Isn't that true? So for that reason, now he came to a very wonderful, he tells a very wonderful truth. Let us read 2 Corinthians chapter 6, chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things pass away. Behold, new things have come. So you see, brothers and sisters, it is a wonderful thing. Why Paul had that discovery, and then finally he wrote down in the Bible. So you see, by this way, we really can see how the Holy Spirit really working in his heart, remind him what God has said before. And not only that, he was a very careful person. For example, one day when he studied Genesis, let's turn to Genesis 22. Genesis 22. Verse 18. Now, I think Paul, in the school of rabbis, must have studied this chapter a lot, must study Genesis many, many times. But now he has a wonderful, wonderful discovery. Now, verse 18. And in your seed, that's what God said to Abraham, okay? In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Now, brothers, when Paul studied this portion of the word, he discovered the seed here is singular, not plural. So then he concludes that refers to Christ. So let's turn to Galatians, okay? Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. Now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say, and to seeds, not plural, as referring to many, but rather to one, and to your seed, that is Christ. Oh, brother, that's great discovery. Do you see that? Many other people, rabbi, they have studied that very much, but they don't understand what does that mean. So, brothers and sisters, in the beginning, Abraham probably was puzzled. How come the whole, because, you know, in the beginning, God promised him that he will be blessed. I mean, the all nations will be blessed by him, by Abraham. Now, Abraham probably will ask himself, now, how come the whole nation will be blessed by me? But only after he offered his son Isaac. Then revelation came. It's a wonderful revelation. Actually, through your seed, the all nations will be blessed. Through your seed. So you see, brothers and sisters, only when Jesus Christ one day will be born in Bethlehem, then the all nations will be blessed by Christ. And since Abraham begat Isaac knew then Jacob, and so on and so forth. Eventually, Christ was born in Bethlehem. So Abraham only lived a life that will lead to Christ. But thank the Lord. In him, he has no offer to the world. But one day, when Christ was born, then, you see, brothers, so all nations will be blessed not only by Christ, also by Abraham. So when you study the Bible, all this Bible becomes clear to us. So do you see that, brothers? And so then you will discover Genesis become a new book to Abraham, to Paul. So then he really write down what you have seen in his epistles. So that's Revelation. Of course, brothers and sisters, don't forget, today it's impossible for us to do that anymore. You see, today these are the wonderful truth discovered by Paul, because Paul was used by God to write the gospel. Because he was one of the authors of the Bible. So that's why God used him in a special capacity. But even that, we would like to know how he studied his word. When he studied his word, now you discover, as I just mentioned, the Holy Spirit will anoint the word God already spoken before, make it a living. It's a wonderful discovery. Now today for us, we will no longer, don't forget, it's impossible, because the revelation is complete. From Genesis to Revelation, everything is there. So all we receive is the application of this word. Now, Holy Spirit will apply this word in different way. So I think we should remember this. And then when you continue to look at the life of Paul, you discover something very interesting. You read his epistles. When you study his epistles, you find that he quotes very often the New Old Testament. He quotes. The way he quotes, you know that how he studied his word. You see? Now, there are different ways of quotation. One is citation, exact citation, word for word. Now, another one is called allusions. That is allusion. Allusion means not necessarily word for word. You see, so they are different kinds. So, if you study epistle of Paul in his letters, let us find out when he have a direct citation and when he has allusions. But something will amaze us. We will be amazed. Every time when Paul quotes something from Old Testament, he was almost exact. He did not make any mistake. Let me give you one example, okay? Romans chapter 3, verse 10. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. Now, from 10 to 18, these are all quotations, you see? But interesting thing is that he did not just cite from one source. He cited from different sources. For example, verse 10 to verse 11, verse 10 to verse 12. He quoted from Psalm 14, verse 1 to verse 3, Psalm 53, verse 1 to verse 3. You see, different sources. And then 13a, the part A, is quoted from Psalm chapter 5, verse 9. And the part B from Psalm 140, verse 3. And verse 14 is from Psalm 10, verse 10, verse 7. But 15 to 17, he jumped to Isaiah 59, 7 to 8. And then verse 18, Psalm 36, verse 1. Now, brothers and sisters, today probably it's easy because you have a computer. You have other things, so you know how to put these things together. But at that time, don't forget, there was no separate of verses, or no, not at all. Not, for example, Isaiah, just whole chunk, not just 60 chapters, no. You see, brother? So by this way, you ought to know it very carefully. Then you can put one verse here, put another there. I have no time. If you have time, I will show many passages by Paul in his life, just like that. So this way, you are pretty sure he almost memorized the word of God. That's for sure, brothers and sisters. Otherwise, it's impossible. Today we have a computer, we have many other helps, but at that time they don't have such a help. And Paul could use them freely and could quote them very accurately. Very, very accurate. The same thing with our Lord. Remember, one day our Lord was in the temple, and then some people had some criticism. Immediately, our Lord quoted Psalm. And our Lord didn't say, just 1 second, let me check with my concordance, and let me look for that verse, and I tell you, no, brothers and sisters, the same thing with Paul. So now you can understand Paul, definitely he memorized. He can recite many, many of his book, many, many portions of the Word of God. And you will be surprised. From the different sources, you know how he really are well-versed with almost the whole Old Testament. So for that reason, he said, he tried to encourage us, let the Logos of Christ dwell in you richly. Because that's his experience. With all wisdom. Now, one of the wisdom to memorize it, but for some people, because, for example, I'm one of them, I cannot recite a single line. It's very difficult for me. But for some people, you know, if you are impressed, if you read more, 1, 2, 3, like Campbell Morgan, that method will work. So if you do that, I think you will then let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Now, I know the method of Paul, for sure, when he studied the word, he must have memorized most part of the Bible. Now, that's really a wonderful blessing. I know there was a Bible scholar. Now, one day, he went to see an eye doctor. The eye doctor told him bad news. He's going to lose his sight, probably within 6 months. So after he went back and he prayed to the Lord, he said, I have only 6 months left. So Lord, I have only one prayer. By your strengthening, I want to memorize the whole New Testament. So even after I lose my eyesight, I still know your word, I still can be in some way be used by you. So he prayed, and the Lord really answered that prayer. So within 6 months, he memorized all 27 books of the New Testament. So he went back to the doctor again and had another check. Then doctor said, I'm very sorry, last time I made a mistake. Actually, I have nothing wrong with your eyes. I just made a mistake. So you see, brother and sister, that's how he memorized the whole New Testament. So, brothers and sisters, now, we don't want to have that happen, but at least we should have a desire. We should have a longing, brothers and sisters. I remember once, not only him, also, do you know that a hymn writer, Habergale, okay, a wonderful hymn writer, and she really can memorize 27 books. Not just one book, I'm talking about the whole New Testament. And So I think this should be a wonderful blessing, you know. Now, sometimes, brothers and sisters, why we cannot memorize very well? Because sometimes you remember other things too much, just like Peter. Now, Peter knew that this is the seventh time I'm going to forgive my brother. So he knew that his brother offended him 7 times. You know, he had a very good memory. That's why when you study four Gospels, especially when you come to Gospel according to Mark, that's supposed to be the Gospel of what? Of Peter. Very strange. If you try to go to that book, everything about what the Lord's teaching, the Lord's saying, very strange. And did Peter devote a just tiny page for what the Lord has said? Evidently, he forgot all about them. But God needed Matthew to put everything together. Do you see that? So you see, but fortunately, I think he remembered Old Testament quite well. That's why in the day of Pentecost, remember, he stood up and he quoted Old Testament. But not the word of our Lord. But it takes Matthew to help him. So you see, brothers and sisters, and for that reason, you know, we sometimes the reason we cannot remember well because we are not under the discipline of our Lord. We indulge ourselves in many ways. For that reason, we remember too many other things. You remember, the name of movie stars and singing stars. You know their stories, everything. For that reason, you have no more energy and strength to remember the Word of God. So, brothers and sisters, I believe that if we really learn the lesson, if we really learn, forgive and forget. 70 times 7, you will never remember anymore. Forgive and forget. So that's why the Lord, not 7 times, 70 times 7. It means that now you no longer keep your record anymore. You see that? You ought to use your memory for the Word of God. So this, I think this is important. I think this is really a great challenge to us. Now, I remember when I was in Brazil, I met many young people there. And in the beginning, I challenged them. I said, I had a dream. I wish that one day in Brazil, we can find 27 young men or young women that each one of them can remember, can memorize one book of New Testament. Suppose one day, for some reason, the New Testament in Brazil is lost. Then at least we can gather these 27 and from Matthew to Revelation. So I told them, this is only my dream. But I pray that, you know, somehow the Lord can do something in that part of the world. But then some people discouraged me. He said, look, if you go to the history, can you find any giants really were born in that part of the world? So then somehow I was discouraged. But brothers and sisters, now one day before I left Brazil, and some group of young people came to me, he said, we knew that you have a dream. Now we want your dream to become true. We are Brazilian, but we want to gather at least 27 young people. But you have to agree that you will come back 6 months later to check with us. I know that's the way to trap me, to try to get me back. So in the beginning, I was not too serious. So I said, all right. So, but now you have to, now if I come back, now you have to not only memorize, you have to memorize before a camera. Okay, then this is a testimony or witness, you see. So we should do that. So later when I came back, I do find there are so many young people. Each one really memorized one book. So after a few years, in the computer list, we found 105 young people. Each one of them, they can do that. Then after that, because somehow the word dwells in their somehow the word of God dwelt within them richly. So, brothers and sisters, no matter they are waking or no matter where they are, Holy Spirit always can speak to them. So, not just speak one phrase. Actually, the whole book is in them. So, brothers and sisters, now, if you one day you really can visit Brazil, you really can talk to these people. Now you know that they are very rich in the Lord. Why? Very simple. Because it's just like what Paul says. You know, he said, just let the Logos of Christ dwell within you richly with all wisdom. So I think this is a very, very important secret. Unfortunately, today our time is gone. So probably tomorrow we have to talk a little bit more about John before we go to some methods. Before we dismiss, I think, Yona. Okay. I would like to introduce something to you. I think most of you probably you know computer very well. So today, if we study the Bible, not only concordance, we can use computer to study it. But then you need a very good software, okay? Now, if you go to the book room or CBD and you'll find lots of softwares. But this afternoon, I would like to introduce you one, because the one I use it all the time. And it is very, very useful. And not only word study, even, for example, if you want to know, for example, especially the Old Testament, you know, there is a whole set of a commentary, a classic one, supposed to be very best. And so if you are not clear about that, if you come to that passage, then that software will, I mean, that whole collection is there. So according to my knowledge, okay, I did some research. According to my knowledge, the best one for our purpose, unless you become a great theologian, that's a different story. You probably need a more sophisticated one. But in our level, okay, in your level, in my level, and so I think one software definitely is very, very helpful. Now that one was published by BibleSoft. Okay. Now the most recent one, actually, they have everything there. And so I think we asked them to give us some brochures, right? And later, now you can have them, and you can decide whether you would like to buy them, because we have some kind of connection and talk to the BibleSoft actually from Seattle, and they will give us a very special price. For example, this kind of software, if you buy in the bookstore, probably 300 something, and this one, if you buy here, probably 100 something. Okay, so you have to make the decision. So now, I think now we should be able to dismiss. But before we, I asked Ezra to explain something, okay?